der Tender Spirits Podcast. Wir vertreiben ausgewählte Flaschen für Restaurants, Bars und Highballer. Und hier geht es um die Menschen und Orte hinter diesen Flaschen. Wo kommen sie her? Und ziemlich wichtig, wer macht sie warum auf? Hey, willkommen zurück zur vierten Episode des Tender Spirits Podcast. Ich bin oder wir sind alle mittlerweile wacholdergeschwängert immer noch nahe der schottischen Grenze im kleinen Örtchen Heppel. Ich habe mich durchgearbeitet durch sozusagen die Erde, der Mutterboden Walter, dann den Destiller Chris und jetzt treffen wir der Mann, dem es eigentlich alles zu verdanken ist, Valentine Warner. War ein schwieriges Interview. Der gute Valentine hat nämlich nebenbei ein Mörderessen gekocht und es liefen auch dauernd alle möglichen Leute durch die Küche und so. Ich hoffe, man kann dem Interview trotzdem was abgewinnen. Ich finde, Valentine ist ein super interessanter Typ. Er ist der Grund, warum ich finde, Heppel ist der absolute Foodie-Gin. Stimmt nicht ganz, weil eigentlich hat es ja auch ein bisschen was mit dem Prozess zu tun, den Cabry Hill erfunden hat und so, weil das auch so Foodie-Nerdy-Nummer, bla bla bla, irgendwie alles strange. Aber Valentine Warner ist ein sehr bekannter Koch, ein Food-Journalist, ein ja, Broadcaster, also der publiziert in ganz vielen Dingen über Essen und Trinken. Er war sogar mal im deutschen Fernsehen, da macht er mal lustige, ich muss das unbedingt mal auf YouTube finden, der macht da lustige Spaß. Er war mal Fernsehkoch in Deutschland, spricht aber kein Deutsch. Und also die Art, wie er kocht, auch da, wie er sich um sozusagen, wie er den Gedanken einfach fortführt, dass man gute Inhaltsstoffe braucht, um gut zu kochen, aber auch guten Schnaps zu machen und guten Gin. Und ich finde einfach ein wahnsinnig inspirierender Typ. Er hat sie eigentlich alle zusammengebracht. Also dank Valentine, er hat die Band zusammengebracht. Die Band, die Heppel Five. Er ist sozusagen Jake und Elwood in eins und hat die Band zusammengebracht. Viel Spaß mit Valentine Warner. Ich hoffe, man verzeiht uns das leicht chaotische Interview. Es war ein Granatentag in England und es ist ja auch schon der dritte Drink. Also, bis dahin. Tschüss.
So, here we go. It's hard to catch this man. You know, he's always working, you know.
But I'm also a born fidget.
What's a fidget?
I was born to stay on my feet. I'm not somebody who can sit at a desk. I need to move. If I'm not moving, I get
That's a fidget.
Yeah,
fidget. Oh, something new I learned.
Yeah.
Okay. I learned a few things today. I learned we need marble martinis, beach martinis.
Pub tini's
we had yesterday. Yeah. So I talked to Walter and I talked to Chris, and now I'm.
What did you find out from them?
Quite interesting. They all talk very good about you.
Oh, really now?
Yeah. I'm here with Valentine. Yeah. Is it Valentine?
Valentine.
But everybody calls you Val.
Valentine's Day. It's Val. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Warner.
Here. Yes, yeah.
And you're preparing lunch.
I'm preparing lunch for the Heppel Planters lunch for 21 people. And there's a lot to do. We have langoustines. We have salmon cured with juniper and pine needles. Mm-hmm. We have crab locally from Crasta. Delicious crab with lots of brown meat in there, the better part. We've got 40 oysters to open. There is something missing, which I can't quite think of, but we're having a big fishy thing. And then lamb from the hill. And the kind of reasoning that there's juniper on the lamb because the lambs barge through the juniper. So the way I cook, the way I do everything is an idea of environment. I like things that exist together in nature tend to exist very well together on a plate. I like to bring a little piece of that hill onto a plate and put it under your nose.
Well done. I think and then there was the same idea to do this with a bottle, because everybody I talked to was like, how did Heppel started? They tell everybody said it's you are the reason why Heppel started, and the idea of reason is to bring the idea of Heppel is to bring all this outside in the bottle.
I think to understand a small piece of land well is hard enough to do because that piece of land is small. I think a lot of, you know, when you're standing by the juniper, you can see the Douglas fir. When you're standing by the Douglas fir, you can see the bog myrtle. When you're standing by the bog myrtle, you look back towards the garden where all the black currants are growing. So you use those things. You don't need to superimpose things on this place from the deep Congo or the with or seeds from, you know, sky seeds from, or whatever it is.
Malfi lemons are okay.
Malfi lemons. Yeah, well, okay, well, okay. Malfi lemons, there's a reason for that. A, that they are the most fragrant lemons.
Yeah.
And B, if you say, I want lemons, they could come from Italy, Spain, France, South America.
Not Newcastle.
Different. Or no, Newcastle's not famous for its lemons.
Yeah.
They would taste different all the time.
Yeah.
So Malfi lemons not only gives us regularity, consistency, but it also happened to be the nicest lemons. But everything up there, when I grew up, I understood everything through my mouth. I bit everything. I ate my sister's oil paints. I was constantly going off to the doctor for eating something I shouldn't. I bit table legs. I bit people.
Did they taste?
Yeah, everyone tastes different. So I kind
water, don't drop the camera. It's very fragrant over there.
I know. See.
The Bollinger stand is quite...
Our glorious leader, the ginger peril. And yeah, so everything up there we've eaten, we've nibbled our way across that moor.
Yeah.
And just because we have everything, it doesn't mean we use everything up there. Some things didn't work.
Yeah.
And there's that temptation to squeeze everything in. But actually, the stripping out was very important. And what we were left with was the things that we wanted to use. Also, the other idea was that all gins are made from mature juniper. Mm-hmm. So the elderly, so to speak. But nobody was using the green berries. So I thought, I want youth in the bottle as well as ancient wisdom. So it's more like a kind of family car trip rather than a bus of an elderly bus trip. You know, you've got the young juniper in there, you've got the old juniper there. So we get a fuller expression of juniper. And that's it also gives something, it gives it a zip and aliveness, a brightness.
Totally. I agree. Question. So yes. Everybody told me, except Nick, I still have to speak to him. That
Nick's got a lot to say. There's hidden depths that run deep.
That's always deep. That's Nick. That's
yeah.
the thing is like the everybody told doctor. Me when I asked him why did you start Heppel, everybody said because of you. You brought the pieces together, you brought the Heppel five together. I call them the Heppel five. Because everybody said when I got it right, the main idea in the beginning, the idea was to kind of produce a kind of not a bison grass vodka, but you or somebody had the idea of bringing some British style of bison grass in a vodka. That's somebody, and then you teamed up. You visited Walter and said you
might
have.
That's right. I started. I've found the grass here that tastes identical to bison grass.
Yeah.
So I thought let's do our own thing, and then Nick and I started working on it. But it turned out that in America that it was another thing which was illegal for America. It was food safe in the UK, but not in the States. So it kind of put us, it scotched that plan. But Walter and I, at the same time, the shifting sands of our life, we kind of came together and said, I wasn't very happy what I was doing. Walter had left his previous job. And we were just walking here one day, and suddenly it's like you've got a mountain full of plants, you've got incredible water, you've got a barn with owls and mice and them not doing much else. And so all the components, Nick, I was already working with. Nick brought up Carebury, and then I was at Sipsmith's party. And I said, where's Chris? And they said, he's moved to Newcastle. So I literally ran out of the party.
This is what Chris told me.
And called him at quarter 11. To 12 at night or something. And said, have you got, because I knew him before. And he said, I'm thinking of making beer. So I said, what a terrible idea. Come and work with us. He said, let me think about it and I'll call you in a week. And he called us the next morning and said, I'm in. So that was the great coming together. And Carebury, of course, came up with the wonderful idea that to make the gin at Nick and I wanted to make, we'd have to look further than the copper pot still. It was too basic to achieve what we were trying to do.
What's the background of Carebury?
Carebury is, I think he trained in biochemistry. Is that right, Nick?
Something like that.
We're not totally sure. But
he's all time drinking in bars, I think.
That's a good qualification.
So he is the kind of scientist. And then we have Walter, who's totally in love with the land that you see out there. If he comes to London for more than a day, he goes pale white and starts shaking and getting quite strange. And then he comes back here and he breathes out and he's happy again. So Walter's kind of the guardian of the junipers. He's the madman on the side of the hill ripping up the bracken and making sure everything's, you know, we're treating this place properly, because without this place we have nothing. Mm-hmm. So we have to look after this place.
Yeah.
As we rather tritely say that Mother Nature is our business partner. It's a bit naff, but you know, there's a truth to it too.
I talked to Walter and I talked to Chris, and they, I have to say, for me, Heppel is something more like, it's kind of the first gin. This is why I thought, next to, I knew Nick, and I thought this might be interesting. If Nick is doing something, it can't be that bad. You know, that was my intentions, and I started to look at
That's
it.
That's actually why I asked him originally to make this bison grassy thing with me, because I knew about Nick. I tasted his drinks, and I thought, if there's one person I'm going to go to, it's this one.
So I knew Nick. We met, I think, first time you brought me a bottle at the Mad Symposium in Copenhagen, a bottle. I put it on my shelf. I forgot to taste. Like half a year later, I tasted it. And then later on, I was like, why it's not available in Germany? Is it because I really liked it?
And put it in your hand in Paris again.
And then, that was the intent. Then we met in Paris again. He thought, did you ever? And I was like, it's better to have two free bottles than one. He was like, did you ever try it all? I said, no, I haven't had a bottle. There was one in my office. But so I brought another one home. And then I thought, maybe it's cool to, if I steal two bottles, maybe I should try it.
You shouldn't by that point.
I've tried it. I was like, fuck, that's great. And then I was like, I need to get it. I was like, who's importing it to Germany? He said, nobody. I said, that's an opportunity. Yeah, because so I started to understand how you guys do this. And then I also thought, it's interesting. For me, when you look at what Heppel is, it's not coming from this geeky distiller's background. For sure, it's great, you know, craft distill gin. But for me, it was totally a foodie gin. The way you do it with the technique, it's something for food lovers.
We had to look in all sorts of places to achieve what we were trying to. I mean, the amount of tastings of the different machines. But I think this place is about, as you know from walking around in a cold house with your anorak on, that this place is about coldness. And what I think, you know, Heppel in my mind was always something that should be a cold climate, crystal clear, clarity driven, you know, bright, sparkly thing. It's, you know, not a, and that's what those machines kind of enabled us to do in the end, to chase this kind of idea of something clean and cold. And
no, I totally agree. And I really, I think it's something special because it's not just, I think what you combined, what I liked on this is it's classic juniper. I think this is what gin should be. Kind of. I mean, gin can be everything, but the main idea of gin is juniper first. But then you invented the, or not you, but you Heppel 5 guys invented this mixture of doing juniper with a, coming from here with a great story all about quality. How can you make the taste of juniper nice in a bottle? But then combining this with unusual techniques, which I think this is the foodie thing, I think a little bit.
CO2 gives that deep kind of woody, I don't know if you know oud, which is an incense from the Middle East, but it kind of slightly reminds that cedar woody, oud, slightly incense, that really long run on the mouth. So it's that's the kind of depth. The rotovap was to get all the kind of bright, sparkly things, the silver flashy things. So everything there is a single discipline. So there was lots of, you know, some things had to be distilled on their own. And then what comes out of the copper pot still was, it's the kind of what I always described as the scaffolding or the chandelier, which you hang everything else on. But it took the amount, the tasting. I mean, we were getting to know our machines. We didn't know how to use them really in the beginning. You know, I was, you know, there was a point where Nick and I were, it was coffee and gin. I was deranged, standing by a dry stone wall going, what have we done? You know, all this, you know, kind of sobbing. And then we had this eureka moment, but it was a year and a half of being completely, we burnt a lot and we tried to drink what we could and we burnt the rest.
It worked out very well. And so as I talked to Chris and Walter, now the next step is a little bit, now you have the technique, now you have this crazy setup of three different ways of extracting flavors from kind of herbs or spices or whatever. And now you go, maybe a next step is not, it's, in the moment, it's more like a prototype, but I really like the idea of Douglas fir too.
Well, Douglas, it's the CO2 machine is like a diving bell.
It's the like, ice is coming. It's like getting loud. The ice is coming.
The ice is here. It's like the journey to the bottom of the ocean, that machine.
Cool.
So we got to find more and more and more what it can do, what pressures it can go to, how deep you can go, how. But the Douglas fir was something that we used in the gin. And then Nick and I were tasting going, ooh, this is, tastes like melons and it tastes like tropical fruit. And it so that really fell out by mistake in a way. We kind of realized that drinking it on its own. Nick just said, this is, we liked the distillate. And Nick said, give me some of that tonic water. And it was him who poured the tonic in. We all sipped it and went, whoa! So that's where we set off on the next one. So, you know, I like this strange tattoos and tweed family that you never know how it's going to go here. It's never the easy way. It's slightly chaotic, but good.
Like now here in the kitchen, because now it's like 20 people from London and all over UK coming, and we have a great dinner with their lunch.
We're having Chris has let the side down by getting his horrible sandwich fillings in as a kind of pre-day nibble. Then I'm going to feed you properly. And then I think we've got a little surprise for you coming up right now, which will hopefully make you laugh. And then we're going all the way up the hill tonight, where we're going to have a disco in the hut. And then we're going to come down with torches at whatever fucking time it is.
Really?
Yeah.
I like.
I really like Jörg, by the way. He's really kooky and he looks a little bit like Chris.
It's true. Yeah. Maybe we'll make a photo each other.
I need a picture. Yeah. Nose to nose in your glasses. For you.
Okay.
Did you get the basil in your bedroom last night?
Yeah. I was really honored. So, okay. I want to let you cook. So that's another one of the Apple 5.
Thank you.
Yeah, Valentine Warner.